Lord, give us wisdom before we speak, understanding while we listen, sensitivity towards those we meet, and the perspective of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you will know that Chris and I have recently spent 7 wonderful weeks in Australia and New Zealand. So you won't be surprised when I draw on some of that experience this morning. I love mountains. I love to look at them from a distance, seeing their broad outline. Then, as one gets closer, seeking out the detail, the crags, the crevices, snow caps, waterfalls, and the varied shapes. So for me, the South Island of New Zealand was paradise, with a mountain range down its full length and a vast area of fields and mountains at the southern tip. Each day we could feast our eyes on its spectacular scenery, frequently evoking in me the thoughts of the hymn we sung just now, "How Great Thou Art." Combined with a line from Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" However, as I'm not keen on heights, getting to the top of mountains is a challenge for me. Thankfully, Chris has no such fear. So as he cautiously drove up the winding, narrow, steep roads, I could confidently close my eyes with the occasional peep to admire the valley below. In Queenstown, famous for daredevil activities, I braved going up in the cable car, facing the mountain, often with my eyes firmly shut. Once there on terra firma, I was quite happy soaking in the spectacular views of the lake below, the surrounding mountains and the fearless hang gliders and, yes, bungee jumpers. Such was the beautiful view that I could have remained at the top for hours. I was reluctant to go down, not just because it meant going down in the cable car again. I wanted to preserve the moment, preserve that special sense of God's wonderful creation spread out before us, and how fortunate we were to be there. I wonder if Peter's desire to preserve the mountain moment on the mountain felt anything like mine. Here he was, just 2 of 12 disciples, privileged to be in the company not only of Jesus, but the 2 most revered prophets of the Old Testament. Not surprising then that at least Peter, and probably James and John, wanted that moment to last forever. Who of us would want such a moment to pass? No doubt we have all experienced at least one precious moment that we did not want to end. Perhaps the sight of a newborn baby or grandchild. The moment we first fell in love, the day we heard a good exam result, a special holiday, the first signs of spring, when we've been uplifted by music or worship, or that moment, as in the words of John Newton from the hymn Amazing Grace, "How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed." Chris and I are fortunate to have preserved our holiday in video and hundreds of photographs that I've just finished putting in an album, or 2 albums. But by this, we can preserve the visual memory, but we cannot preserve that emotional inner thrill of being there. Likewise, Peter, by his slightly absurd idea to build shelters around Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, would not be able to preserve the presence of the prophets and Jesus. But they could take the memory with them. But unlike us, who can share special moments with family and friends once we return home, Peter, James, and John were directed by Jesus to keep quiet about their mountaintop experience until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So I feel for these three disciples. Not only were they to keep this incredible experience to themselves, but they had also heard the strange words, risen from the dead, which was a great puzzle to them. I wonder also what the other disciples thought about not being asked to go to the top of the mountain, then not being told what had happened up there. Surely Peter, James, and John would have been changed by their encounter. If I'd been them, I think I would have been quite put out. Let's ponder for a moment what our reactions might have been had we been up there. Would we have wanted to put shelters up? Or would we have been dumbstruck and been in silent awe? Or like Peter, have babbled some nonsense? Or have been so fearful that we'd shut our eyes and headed down the mountain? Would we have also struggled to keep silent after such a life-changing encounter? Would we have been brimming over with questions to Jesus as recorded later in verses 11 to 13? It is hard, isn't it, to think honestly how we would react. We could easily be tempted to think the best of ourselves, believing that we would marvel at the wonder of the privilege and be so buoyed up that we would become even more convinced of who Jesus is and follow him dutifully and fervently to the end, as Elisha followed Elijah. More likely that we would be buoyed up for a while, and then when the struggles of daily living out the gospel overpowered us, we might waver and be frightened, like the three disciples were on the mountain. How then do we hang on to the mountaintop experience when back down in the valley? I was recently challenged by the words of a young woman in Yarswood Immigration Removal Centre, who, after I had celebrated Holy Communion with them, declared spontaneously to me that Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is always with me. I love Jesus. Here was a young woman, locked up, facing deportation and an unknown future, declaring with the joy and total trust and love of Jesus. I thought to myself, if she can trust like that, who am I in my relative comfort and safety to question when life gets tough? Perhaps the secret is to listen again to the words, the voice that came from the cloud. This is my son who I love, listen to him. Words that echo in part those heard as Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Let us listen to Jesus so that the gospel is not veiled to us, such that we know light does shine out of darkness and shines in our hearts to give us the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.
Amen.